For our honeymoon, we were honeymooning many years ago. We were honeymooning in Orlando in Kissimmee, Florida. And on our honeymoon, we went to the movies. And, of course, it was, you know, Shannon's choice. She wanted to see a chick flick. And then, but we went to go see Braveheart. Arr, yeah. And that was a movie I wanted to see. And so we went to a movie, Braveheart. I mean, you know, just at the part when Mel Gibson, he plays William Wallace, and he says, "Freedom!" And then at the end, you know, everyone's, you know, some people might have been crying, but I was like, I wanted to jump out of my seat. Yeah, freedom! You know, and so, but motivational speeches do that to you. And they are speeches that when they are effective when they're done right, though. I didn't even bother to look. I'm just thinking now of going on the internet and bother to look at motivational speeches that failed. you know, but you know, motivational speeches are when they are effective when they're done right and when they're spoken to the right audience. But motivation is a helpful tool. Find someone who has the ability to use that tool, or learn yourself how to use that tool to motivate others. Imagine a coach, and this is where I'm saying that a motivational speech is effective if it's done right and it's brought to the right crowd. Imagine a coach giving a motivational speech to his team for the World Series college final, but yet take his team away and replace his team with a team of kids of a T-ball. I mean, that motivational speech is not going to be effective. Or maybe find a high school valedictorian who's going to give a speech to his class, but instead of his graduating class, he's giving it to a group of people at a nursing home. Not really effective. You see, when we motivate people, it will touch people's lives. Just as someone who is a motivational speaker, I'm not sure, but how many of you were inspired or challenged by that speech? You see, the purpose of a motivational speech, of course, it's right there, is to motivate. To motivate the hearers, the crowd, the listeners, to achieve something. To use these words to encourage those who are listening. Slide one. These are words of encouragement. And these words hopefully would encourage you. If you can get slide one, please. Words, of course, we find in these in this slide. But they encourage people when we speak them, when we say them. Encouragement, it is defined as the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. My first point today is that what words will you use to encourage? We've been discussing this month of Proverbs 18:21 that death and life is in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Many of us, we have learned to love rotten fruit or rotten words. And it says here that those who love it will eat its fruit. I hate biting into an apple that is soggy. It might look nice on the outside, but it's soggy and it's just not crispy and not juicy. How many of you have ever bought strawberries and the top ones look really good? It's just when you open it and you get to the ones in the middle and there's little, you know, little fur on it. You're like, oh man, you got to throw it all out. See, there are many people that tour the world. I'm not sure how famous this guy is, but there are many people that tour the world and give motivational speeches, which are words of encouragement. But my problem is those words are only effective in this lifetime. How will that speech encourage me in the afterlife? When I say the afterlife, I mean when I die and I leave this earth and I stand before God. How will that motivational speech prepare me when I stand before my Creator, my God? That's a question. That's a problem I have with motivational speeches. They're good and they're effective, but what is it going to do for me in eternity? During this month and next month, all across the U.S., there are going to be many graduations. Graduation speeches conducted by students, faculty, and special guests for the sole purpose of encouraging those who are graduating. But then what about the next day? What about next month? What about in the next 10 years, the next decade? You see, I want to live a life that what I speak, it's not my words, it's God's words, and they will impact the listeners for all of eternity. Those who are listening. Because there'll be those that are counting me out, probably looking out the window at the bird that just flew from one tree to the next. Or thinking about what you're going to eat later. That will always happen. But you know what? You'll be responsible for the words that you hear when they come from the Word of God.
Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. In the New Living Translation, Exodus chapter 3, verses 12. And just while you're going there, we already got it on the screen. That's fine. You can stand for the reading of the word. God has spoken to Moses and given Moses a task that is very, very overwhelming. And Moses has a problem with it. And so God says, it says, God answered, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. But Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me what is his name. Then what should I tell them? God replies to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. Father, we thank you. Regardless of what difficulty and situation we are in, what state of mind, what tragedy, what age in life, whatever problem, whatever difficulty, you are the I am. You are the one who has always been there and always will be. We thank you, Father. We pray that your word speaks to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Overwhelming task. Now, some of you moms can probably relate a little bit, just a little bit. Of getting your children ready to go to church, to go to a party, to go to someone's house, to go to the store. You got to round up them. You got to round them up and put shoes on, socks and shoes, and clothe them and comb their hair, maybe brush their teeth. And you got one, two, or three kids, and one of them might be your husband. And so you got to get them all ready and round them up. And Moses has to do this to over I don't know how many. There wasn't, don't have an actual census of exactly how many, but men, women, and children, and over 100,000 people, having to round them up, tell them this instruction to say they're going to be set free and that you got to follow me out of Egypt, out of slavery. That's a very tough task. He had this demanding task to tell all of God's people, there is freedom if you got to follow me. And then Moses said, but what if they say, who are you? Why do we have to listen to you? Good, wise question to ask. And so when God said, tell them that I am sent you. I mean, it was very overwhelming for over 100,000 people to listen to you and follow you. It's almost as if Moses needed an army, but he didn't. All he had was God. And so Moses, when he spoke to God's people, he spoke to God's people with authority by telling them, hey, listen, follow me. God is the deliverer. Who is God? The I am has sent me. You see, there's a difference between motivational speeches and the word of God. When I say the word of God, I mean the preaching of the word of God, the teaching of the word of God, the sharing of the word of God, the living out the word of God. Some of you are living your Christian life, and you're not saying maybe a few words, but maybe no words at all to certain people, and they're reading you. And they are being encouraged because they're not seeing you, they're seeing Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that triggers something within them that causes them to think, I want what she has, I want what he has. There is something about him that I just can't put my finger on it, but I want what they have. And it's Jesus. And without even speaking words many times, it speaks to people. You see, the word of God is different. Again, preaching, teaching, sharing, living the word of God is different than motivational speeches. Both engage in encouraging listeners and pursuing, encouraging the listeners to pursue someone or something in life. Yet one of them lasts a whole lot longer. It's a longer lasting effect when we follow the word of God. Can I have slide two, please? Time and eternity. You see, while motivational speeches motivate, they only motivate for a certain time. The gospel, the words of God, inspire for today, but also for all of eternity. Which brings me to my second point. Make sure your words come from God and with his authority. You see, if Moses just came up to people with a good idea of, hey, let's just, you know, let's just leave this place. Come on, you stop working, stop making, you know, all of that stuff. Let's just come, you know, let's just come to some other place. Come follow me on the other side of the river. No authority, no power, no strength, no supernatural ability, no staff, because God told him, you know, hey, use that staff. And you find out in the beginning of Exodus, the book of Exodus, God told him, throw the staff down. The staff turned into a snake. I mean, that's supernatural stuff. God told him to pick up the snake. I would be like, I ain't picking up no snake. But Moses picked up the snake from the tail, and as soon as he picked it up, it turned into a staff. Then God told Moses to kind of get Moses to understand, look, ain't nobody just sending you. The I am is sending you. So God told Moses, put your hand in your bosom. So Moses put his hand, and then God told Moses, take your hand out. He took it out, and his hand was full of leprosy. And then God said, put it back in your bosom again. So he put it back into his shirt, and then God said, take it back out. He took it back out, and it was whole again like it was the beginning. To try to get Moses to say, look, you didn't eat something bad, and this is not, you know, a dream. This is real, and I am is talking to you. If we can speak to people what God is revealing to us and changing our lives, those words last for all of eternity and are better than a motivational speech. You see, God's plan to free his people was not just for a few days, but it was for generations to come. God would be their God, and the people, Israelites, would be God's people, no longer slaves but free. You know, God is still doing that today. Still sending people to tell those who will listen the plan of salvation. Can I have the next slide, please? The plan of salvation. If you've never seen this before, do we have that? No, we don't have those. Okay, all right. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift of God from God's salvation. Is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. The plan of salvation is that you are separated from God because of sin. But Jesus came down to live the life here on earth so that he would pay the price so that you would be able to be accepted and reconciled to God. It is not something you have done. Oh, believe me, it's not because of how many times you come to church. It's because of what Jesus has done and because of what we have received, just like what was spoken today. God said, salvation, today is the day of salvation. Surrender. Look, if you don't surrender and you don't take a step toward God and actually receive what God has for you, you won't have salvation. You can't have it because mom and dad have it. You can't have it because your wife or your husband has it. You got to have it because you've accepted and you received. I'm a sinner and I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If I say, hey, Jim, I got $50 for you. You know for real Jim's going to open up his hand. I'm going to give him $50. Oh, I don't have $50. Sorry. But, you know, I mean, that's what we do. Again, if sometimes we take the physical things of this world, and just by our actions and reactions, we treat them highly than the things of God. I remember in the military when they would give out mail, they would call out your name and you would, they would hold it out and you would slap it and read it. And you're, you know, I mean, you know, just if someone was to give me money, birthday cards, they put money in there. I mean, I would quickly grab it and, you know, like my father-in-law, he would be like, is there any green in there? Always looking for green in it. We take those things and we're quick to receive them. But when God says something to us, we're waiting for him to go the extra mile to show us, you know, our name in the sky for us to actually believe it so that we can agree with it. It's all about faith. And so we accept Christ through faith. And it's not by our works. It's because of what Jesus has already done. How encouraging would it be if I was to tell you about eternal salvation but not tell you how to get it or who to get it from? How encouraging. It wouldn't be encouraging. That would not be encouraging if I was to tell you about eternal salvation, but I can't tell you, well, how do you get it, where do you get it from, and what do you do to receive it? I'm as lost as you are. We're both lost. If I don't know who to, where to go to and who to receive it from. God's plan isn't just to make your life on earth better, although it will be.
But it's not just to make our life better here. It's to prepare us for heaven. And the fact that we can live as heavenly citizens here on earth, let me tell you, there's a lot of people that don't understand that and are not believing that. That living like kingdom citizens here on earth. You see, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes. He's talking about the devil. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I am come that they, who's they? Those who are believers would have life and have it more abundantly. That is Jesus' desire, that you would not just have life here on earth, but have it to its fullness and abundance of life. That's an exciting thing. You and I don't have to wait till we get into heaven to have this abundant life. We will go through difficulties here on earth. Of course we will. But we have Jesus to have the abundant life. Will everything that you do result in perfection? I don't know, ask Shannon. She has a husband. She got married, so it's a joke, you know. Will you ever get a flat tire? Maybe. But Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. In the midst of trying times, we are able to stand firm on God's word. You know, Hebrews 13:5, it's a good verse to memorize, or part of it, actually. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let's go there real quick. Jesus says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God has said. And it's in quotes. I looked at several different versions, and it's in quotes. So the writer is quoting the Lord. I'll never fail you. I will never abandon you. You ever feel like you're in a state of hopelessness, you're all alone? That's a good verse to memorize. I feel this way, but God, because I memorized that verse, it just rises to the top of my feelings and my emotions. You said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. You said you'll never fail me nor ever abandon me. I can enjoy hearing motivational speeches. It allows me to hear the difficult stories that people had to endure to get where they are today, to lead me to ask myself these questions. Where are you today, Rick? Where are you headed, Rick? What is driving you to be the person that God wants you to be? I would rather live for Christ and give encouraging words that impact people's lives for eternity, not just for today. And we could only find those words from God. God's words, the one who has the power to give life and eternal life. Real quickly, let's just go back to Moses. You see, Pharaoh finally releases God at Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 through 16 in the New Living Translation, please. Pharaoh finally releases God's people from slavery. But he really hates the Israelites, and he begins to get his army, and he follows after the Israelites, whether to capture them again or to kill them, who knows. Now the people of God are in the middle. They see the Red Sea and the chasing of, Pharaoh's army chasing after them, and they're stuck in the middle. Anybody ever feel like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place? All right, these Israelites are there. They're scared, probably putting blame on Moses. Of course, VeggieTales has a really good rendition of it. But they're really scared and they're really worried for their lives. And here we find Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Moses tells the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still. Yeah, right. You got the Red Sea and you got the army coming and you tell us you're going to, give us freedom. We don't see freedom anywhere. So he tells them, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. I'm like, Moses, you got an army in your pocket? Because I don't see anybody that's going to destroy these guys. But he says, Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. That's a good thing to learn. Just stay calm. Any troubles you got going on right now? Just stay calm. The Lord is with you. You got any bad reports from doctors? Just stay calm. Receive the report of the Lord.
Verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. Let me remind you, there are men, women, children, and animals scared. What do we do now? And you're telling me not to be afraid and to be calm. See, God speaks his word and reveals at his time. He reveals his promises to remind us that they are true. And this is a caravan over 100,000 people to come upon the Red Sea. The Egyptian army approaching close behind them. And they are to respond like so many of us would, in terror and in disbelief. Do you have that video? It's a little short GIF video. I just thought I'd share this without showing. There's all the people. And then all of a sudden, the waters. You see, what God says, it's his promise. And God never lies. God never says, oh, my bad. I promised you that? No. Yeah, disregard. The Israelite army saw what God said he was going to do. An encouraging word. An encouraging word will impact the lives of the listener. But what words are they? Because if they're just your words, they will only encourage and exhort for just a small time. But if they're God's words and what God said, it will impact people's lives forever and ever and ever and ever. There are moments in life, the ups and downs, where our faith is tested and the outcome that we hope for just hasn't happened yet. What do we do? What do we look for? My last point. When we are lost for words, look at his. We don't have slide 4, but 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 says, greater is he who is in me than he who is of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, Paul says, so that the power of Christ can work through me. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, come to me, all who are tired and from carrying heavy loads or heavy burdens, I will give you rest. When you're lost for words, when you're lost in a situation, look at what God's word says. Look for his word. Just as easy to find motivational quotes and speeches on the internet, man, we can find encouraging words from the word of God. Remember that they are words that will impact us for all of eternity. The Bible tells us many things that reflect the spiritual aspect or the side of life first before it happens in the physical. And I think Janine said that earlier. What God wants to do in us, we have to hold on to spiritually speaking first before we can expect it to happen in the physical. What are you praying for? Keep praying for it, trusting the Lord. If you've compared it with Scripture and the Lord has given you peace about it, keep praying for it. Don't waver. Don't stop. Don't throw in the white towel. Keep praying for it. For if the Lord confirmed it to you, then you just continue to hold on, stand firm, and stand on his word. It is important that we do that. God's word will give you a solid foundation, a rock to stand on and to live by, to give you strength, hope, and assurance that no motivation speech could ever do. That is, unless the motivational speech that I have for you right now are words and experiences of someone who is living that life more abundantly through Jesus Christ.